KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, sitting in today for Michael Krasny. And this hour, nothing says summer like a hot fudge sundae or a strawberry ice cream cone. The Bay Area has a long tradition of making some of the best and most innovative ice cream, from old standbys like Mitchell's and Fenton's to upstarts like Humphrey Slocum and the made-to-order Smitten. The Bay Area takes a backseat to no one. This hour, the scoop on ice cream, and we want to hear from you. What are your favorite flavors and makers, and why? We'll get started with Forum right after this. Welcome once again to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer, here today for Michael Krasny, and that was Ice Cream, You Scream, We All Scream for Ice Cream, from Harry Reeser's Syncopators, a 1927 version of that song, and it's a soundtrack for this hour. We're talking about ice cream. Even here in foggy San Francisco, we see people lining up in our sweaters and jackets for cones and sundaes, and why not? We've got some of the best ice cream in the world made right here in the Bay Area, from pure vanilla to crazy flavors like purple yam and pink grapefruit tarragon. And this hour, we're going to be discussing the rise of premium brand local ice cream. Joining me here in the studio, Janie Hu, who is a food writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. She's also in charge of those Taster's Choice panels. Good morning. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And also here with me, Ann Walker, who is the co-founder of Byright Creamery and Bake Shop. She's also the co-author of Sweet Cream and Sugar Cones, 90 Recipes for Making Your Own Ice Cream and Frozen Treats from Byright Creamery. Good morning to you, Ann, as well.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, Janie, let me begin with you. You somehow got, you drew the short straw and had to do a Taster's Choice panel on ice cream in the Bay Area. That was about a year ago.
Such a tough job, isn't it?
Such a tough job. How many people did you have to beat off to get that one with a stick? Beat them off with a stick. And anyway, tell us about that. Give us the lay of the land and what you found out there in ice cream land. I know that you looked at what? How many different companies and stores did you look at?
We looked at 15 different ice cream makers in the Bay Area, and what we said was they all had to make it in-house.
So that was the criteria.
Right. Not dryers or brands like that. And so we spread out across the Bay Area, and we went and looked at picked three different flavors from each company. And we used chocolate as a baseline, because who doesn't love chocolate? And then we picked up every store's bestseller and also a wild card. So we did it in the summer. So we said it was a seasonal, something that sounded good. And so we ended up with a lot of fruit-based ice cream, some very herby flavors that didn't score so well. But so we came back and we tasted 45 ice creams over the span of a couple of days.
Wow.
And we were on a little sugar high there in the Chronicle offices.
And so you took 3 days to do that. And what were some of the – there was a few things that you – brought consensus around. Let's start with the chocolate. What
right.
did you find?
So what we did was actually the genesis of this was such a rich history of ice cream in the Bay Area. You have Fenton's and Mitchell's. And so we wanted to compare those with Byright, Humphrey Slocum, some of these upstart, well, I guess Byright isn't quite upstart anymore.
Pretty mainstream at this point.
Exactly. And so what we found was, we wanted to see, was there a difference? Because there are difference in prices and availability. But for chocolate, the top rated chocolate was actually one of the smaller purveyors, Mr. and Mrs. Miscellaneous.
They were on 3rd Street in Dog
Right,
Patch.
In Dog Patch, mm-hmm. which is a great up-and-coming area. And, it was a kind of a malted chocolate. And, Anne can probably speak to more of this about the intricacies of chocolate. They were all so different. That's what we were struck by. Hmm. You would think chocolate ice cream, but no. I mean, there were differences that we could pick out from each one of them.
And how? What is that? Is that sort of the different base that's used, or what kind of chocolate?
I think it makes there are a lot of different factors. It depends on the base that you're using, the combination of milk and cream, sugar and egg yolks. But also when you're doing something like chocolate, you have a lot of different options. There's so many amazing chocolates out there right now. You could be using bittersweet chocolate, or you could be using cocoa, or you could be using a combination of the two. And then once you get into the intricacies of chocolate, just like, you know, coffee, you can just you go on forever with that. So, yeah.
And in ice cream, how much of the quality of the chocolate can you taste? In other words, is there a point where, you know, getting better and better and better chocolate to put into the ice cream, you can't really taste it because it's cold anyway?
You know, I don't think so. I think that the great thing about ice cream in general is it's such a great backdrop for flavor. You know, you can really, you know, infuse and add any flavor that you want to it. So, you know, the better the chocolate or the more you want to just add nuances to it, I think it all comes through.
Yeah. But, Janie, I remember that one of the things your panel found was that, as you said, you alluded to earlier, that herbal things didn't go over so well. And
no.
I know, Anne, you make a nice lavender honey, and I think there's a cardamom orange, if I'm not mistaken.
Orange cardamom.
But what, yeah, tell us, Janie, what did you find?
I think you're towing a line there when you're trying to get a little bit creative with making ice cream flavors. And what we tasted some honey, thyme, basil, and there, I believe a word came out, it's like, it tastes like we're eating potpourri sometimes. So I just think that if the flavors are too strong, flavors, herbs that people might not generally associate with desserts, it gets a little bit tricky. And in general, at least for our palates, it, you know, most of them didn't go over so well.
How much of it is marketing? Like I'm looking here, there's a here in the mission, there's a Humphrey Slocum, which is
right.
a popular upstart company. I'm looking at their list from their website, their list of flavors. And there's chocolate, of course, but then you've got foie gras, which I don't know if that's still on the menu or not because of the foie gras ban.
Exactly.
But chocolate chip tarragon, old Hebrew ale flavor, peanut butter curry, which I've actually tried. You know, what is that?
Creativity? no, it's, you know, Humphrey Slocum. They have basic flavors. I love their blue bottle coffee. But I think it's reflective of this food culture that we're in, where people want to do what they want to do, make their foods and put their spin on it. Peanut butter curry. They have the secret breakfast, really popular.
Bourbon cornflakes.
Exactly. So combinations that maybe people haven't done before. I think it's just the way that things are going. We're specializing in ice creams, trying to be creative, trying to find that next combination that people like and becomes popular.
And it sort of reflects also what's happening in our restaurants, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So how do you decide, how often do you introduce a new flavor at Byright?
My business partner and I change the flavors it's usually according to the seasons. Like right now, last week, we just added, speaking of herbal things, basil ice cream, which you would be surprised is very popular.
a little defensive.
So in the spring, we always do balsamic strawberry right. once we get the really good crop of strawberries and we know they're going to be consistent throughout the season.
Right.
Olive oil is something that we bring in just because we like it with the basil. So, you know, it's usually kind of a change of the seasons, whether it's the spring or the holidays.
And so like with the strawberry, I mean, now strawberry season's kind of beginning to wane a little bit. But do you only use fresh ones or do you make
make them fresh and freeze them and use them later? We make sure that, we're getting them from local farms and we're getting it consistent.
So come January, you won't have strawberry ice cream?
No.
Yeah. And do you, how often do you try to make a flavor and you just say, no, that's not going to work?
You know, that doesn't happen too often because we get to be in the kitchen and we get to keep tweaking it and changing it. So, you know, usually there's something there we think is a good idea. It doesn't mean the first or the second or the third time it's the perfect mix. But then, you know, we get to play with it. That's the fun part.
Yeah,
really.
Yeah. And are the basics all the same? I mean, to what I know that some. I remember from your article, Janie, that a lot of the ice cream companies use Strauss's
the base, their ice cream mix
as the
right,
base.
As a base.
Yeah. Is that true across the board, pretty much in the Bay Area?
It depends. I don't believe it is for EC, but I know that they're going
to
be.
We're going to be talking to them in a minute.
Right.
Yeah.
I do know Mr. and Mrs. Miscellaneous uses Strauss. I do know Humphrey Slocum uses Strauss. Mitchell's, I don't believe, is using Strauss.
Right.
So they have different.
Yeah, but Byright does.
Byright, definitely, yeah. We don't use it for, we have a vegan flavor, a chocolate coconut ice cream, so we wouldn't use it for that.
So what's in the vegan ice cream?
It's coconut milk.
Just, so that's the only change you have to make?
Well, it's.
What
so
about
it's,
eggs? No
there's
eggs.
There's no eggs.
No eggs.
Yeah, so it's, yeah.
How does it taste?
I think it's good.
What surprised you, Janie, as you were doing your tasting?
I don't know about surprise, but I think everybody has their own opinion when it comes to ice cream, and thank goodness there's so much great ice cream out there. But I think what was nice to see was how well some of the what we call the old guard did, Mitchell's, Fenton's, you know, companies that have been around for 50 plus years, as well as it was really neat to just see the new guard come in. And I don't know, again, by right, I'm not sure if I would consider it as new guard anymore. You guys are so well entrenched in the community now. But just that, you know, there's a flavor for everybody. There were companies we liked one flavor and we didn't like another. And that was the thing. It was hard to find consensus. But in the case of, say, like a Mitchell's, all three flavors we tried, we liked.
Really, yeah. And I know one of the favorite flavors was Byright Salted Caramel, which was, I remember, kind of a breakthrough flavor at the time. How long ago was that? It seems like everybody has salted caramel.
We'll be open 6 years in December.
And that was one of the initial flavors you had there.
That was one of the first flavors.
Janie, am I misremembering that? Well, that was one of the. I don't remember seeing salted caramel before that, or am I wrong?
I think that was pretty at that time. I mean, you see it everywhere now.
Now, yeah.
But
it certainly has. Other people have made it, but it was the. I don't think we weren't.
It's your signature flavor.
It's definitely our most popular flavor.
Is it really?
Oh, by far.
And, you know, I was looking online this morning, and overall, nationwide, and I think it's probably true still for most even individual stores, vanilla is by far the favorite, most popular flavor. And that was your finding, too? I guess that's just because. Why? People have it on Sundays and with pie and stuff?
You know, I think it's plain, so you can doctor it up however else you want. You can use it for, I don't know, root beer floats, mm-hmm. everything like that. You can kind of customize it yourself at home, I think. It's just good old plain vanilla.
Yeah, I know. So it's kind of a pejorative, like, it's just plain old vanilla, but it's good. So what were some of the other sort of interesting flavors, top flavors from your taste panel?
Highest scoring that we got was Fenton's Blackberry, and I think that's for them a seasonal flavor as well. Salted caramel was great. A lot of strawberries. I think, again, Anne was alluding to in the season, and that was popular in the summer. Mitchell's has, they're also known for some of their more Hawaiian flavors, makapuno, ube.
And Filipino flavors.
Yeah, right? a little bit. Just tropical.
Tropical.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And those scored really well.
And we're going to be talking to Linda Mitchell in the next half hour, so we'll ask her about that. Do we have Mary Canales on the line? We do. Let's go to Mary Canales, who is the founder of EC Ice Cream in Berkeley on College Avenue. Good to have you with us.
Hi, thank you.
Hi. You got your start, I don't know if it was your start, but you came from Chez Panisse, right, before you opened up EC?
Yes, that's correct. I was the pastry chef there for 9 years.
And what did you learn from Chez Panisse that you've incorporated into your ice cream?
Oh, that's interesting. I learned so many things there. It was truly a great foundation for all cooking, but I used a lot of fruit there, learned a lot about seasonal fruit. Worked through, the full calendar year, made a lot of friends with small local farmers who we still use today.
And you're looking at your website. You have, I think, 11 or 12 flavors on any given day. Is that right?
Yes, we have 11 flavors on. We always have chocolate. We always have vanilla. And then the other flavors change daily.
And what are the biggest sellers for you?
Anything with chocolate chips, oatmeal chocolate chip is really popular. Brown sugar ginger snap is wildly popular. Malted vanilla with chocolate cocoa nibs, fruit flavors.
Yeah. And I noticed that you fill the bottom of your cones with chocolate. Is that right?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
It plugs the drip if there's a hole. And it gives everyone a little, treat at the end.
Yeah, yeah. I'm surprised that idea hasn't been stolen by more people. And you also have an ice cream sandwich with ginger cookies, I'm told, by my producer, Judy Campbell. is that right? I assume that's right.
Yes, we make lots of ice cream sandwiches. And I guess the one with ginger snaps is probably the most popular. We make candied Meyer lemon Other fruit flavors with the ginger snap, and we also have a sandwich with chocolate wafers as well.
Yeah. And Walker, I know that you do that at Byright as well. You make your own chocolate chip cookies, right?
Mm-hmm.
And other cookies as well, make a nice frozen ice cream sandwich.
Yeah, because we also have an entire bakery area, then we can use all of our cookies to make the sandwiches, which is really nice.
Yeah. What, Mary Canales, what do you think is the, what's the, why is ice cream so popular?
Well, I ponder this question a lot. I think people are really passionate about ice cream. For some reason, it has a nostalgia element. Whether people grew up making ice cream themselves in childhood or whether they just, you know, had ice cream as a child, it seems to bring up fond memories, sometimes stemming from childhood. And the ice cream cone itself just sort of, you know, it just is something that you have for a special occasion for, you know, you're in a happy mood when you have it usually. So it seems to have like an emotional resonance with people.
Yeah. When I grew up, my dad owned a Dairy Queen. Ooh. Of all things, which was pretty cool. And I remember I used to take a ladle of the butterscotch sauce for the hot butterscotch sundaes and just eat the butterscotch sauce with a spoon. Not exactly, you know, like top-notch premium stuff, but it was good, you know, when you're 10 years old. So what about you, Mary Canales? Is ice cream a part of your childhood? How did you grow up?
Oh, definitely. Of course, you know, we made the trips to Baskin Robbins and Dairy Queen and that kind of thing. But we had these neighbors that were like grandparents to me, and every summer we made ice cream with them. They had one of the hand crank machines, and the kids were the ones who always had to churn the ice cream. And I just remember every summer really looking forward to that. We made vanilla, peach, and strawberry, and you know, it was just so delicious, like freshly made. So I don't know. I look forward to it all year, and it remains, you know, a fond memory.
Yeah. You know, it's not hard to find peach ice cream. I don't really recall seeing nectarine ice cream. Is there a reason for that, or is it out there and I'm just missing it?
I don't know. That's true. I think that it's really not as common, but we're making it this week, actually. One nice thing is you don't have to take peach skins off, which is an added step in the process. So I don't know. I don't know why people don't make more nectarine ice cream.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe somebody will. Thanks. Thanks so much for joining us this morning. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, Mary Canales from EC Ice Cream on College Avenue in Berkeley. And any thoughts about that, the nectarine ice cream? Do you guys, I don't think I've seen it at Byright.
We've done a peach ginger ice cream, but that's a really good point.
I prefer nectarines. where does all this leave the companies like, Häagen-Dazs? I remember back in the 80s, Häagen-Dazs was like the big step up in ice cream. And it's still around, although I guess ironically it's made by Nestle's, which is Dreyer's, which is a subsidiary of Nestle. So it's kind of hard to follow the line of who owns what these days. But
well, I think it's two different products almost. They're marketing toward the supermarkets. You're going to buy Häagen-Dazs to have a pint stored in your freezer at home. So the way I think here we're talking about, and lucky enough to live in the Bay Area where you can go out and get so many great fresh cones.
Yeah. And what's the difference, Anne, in terms of quality between this, something you could buy in the store? I mean, let's suppose, you know, Byright could super mass produce all of its stuff and sell it in Safeways all over the country. I mean, would the quality necessarily be different?
Well, you know, it's certainly not a vision that I would want
to aspire to.
One of the things that we love about the way we make the ice cream is the fact that it's all made right there. And we're in a kitchen, so we're making the caramel that goes into the salted caramel. And then we can make those cookies to make those ice cream sandwiches. So I can't envision being able to do that, you know, on the scale of being in every Safeway.
Yeah. But you do see that happen with Joseph Schmidt's chocolate, mm-hmm. you know, it gets bought up.
Definitely.
Or Scharfenberger
mm-hmm.
gets bought up.
Time.
Happens all the time. Is that right. Something that you would resist?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it's almost August. So and this is really a peak season for stone fruit, mm-hmm. of course. So as we leave the summer, what kind of flavors do you have? What do you leave behind and when? And what's the next sort of series of flavors? Apple? I mean, do you go to an apple sort of ice cream?
You know, we the thing that we really look forward to, and it's not an ice cream flavor, but it's a popsicle flavor, and so many people love it, is Concord grape. That's sort of the one that we look forward to for the fall. And yeah. We've got a piece of property up in Sonoma where we're growing a lot of different fruits and vegetables for the market and for the creamery. And so that's like, yay,
yeah.
It's fall.
Did you grow up back east?
Yes.
Yeah, I did too. That's where it's hard to find Concord grapes around
there's
here.
A favorite of my mom's, and then we had them growing on this property, and it's so much fun to make.
Yeah. Yeah, and what else? What else is coming up?
You know, we'll start doing playing around with pomegranate. We'll do, you know, once we get into October, then we start doing pumpkin. Then we start kind of going into more of the seasonal fall flavor.
No rutabaga ice cream.
No, gonna skip that one this year.
Janie, what sort of memories do you have as a kid? I mean, did ice cream play big in your family?
Yeah, this was the Baskin Robbins variety.
Mm-hmm. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Los Angeles. Uh-huh. So I remember just being able to go to the store and, you know, you pick out your favorite flavor. But it was really more of a treat. You know, in my family, we got to pick the cake that we wanted for our birthdays, and I think I would always go with an ice cream cake. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. And what about you, Anne?
As far as
I should say, you're both so thin. So I don't. You're, considering that you run a food tasting panel and you have a bakery and an ice cream place,
you eat less of it when you're actually making it. No, the ice cream cake memory is one that really resounds with me. That my mom always got an ice cream cake for her birthday because none of us knew how to bake when we were little. So that was always something. Kind of Baskin Robbins and get her one.
Yeah. And a few years ago, Byright added the soft serve window.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the thinking behind that? Why did you want to do that?
Well, Chris Hoorhead, my business partner, and I, when we first we were envisioning the ice cream shop, we always wanted to have soft serve for the very reason, being from the East Coast. She's from Michigan. That was a total summer memory. And we were like, absolutely, we want to make really good soft serve.
So is that like custard?
It is not a custard. It's actually it's an ice cream. But it is a different formulation from what we're using for the scooped ice cream. It is also coming from Strauss, though. So it's a great product.
But what does it have, less air or more air?
It has more air. It has less fat. Uh-huh. It definitely, there's a lot more air incorporated into soft serve. But we thought that we were going to have a soft serve machine behind the scoop area, and we quickly realized there was absolutely no room to put anything else.
That's a pretty small space back there.
So when we actually, a couple of years ago, when we expanded and we were able to create a little bit more kitchen space and ice cream production space, we were able to create that little window, and we said, haha, now this is our opportunity to have the soft serve.
So and usually we have two flavors there, right?
We have two flavors.
Like a malted vanilla. So they're different every day.
They're different every day. Yeah.
I have to say, I usually go right to the hard stuff.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's something for everybody, though, which is really nice.
But it is good to know. I can't remember if we were on the air or not, but you can scoot up to that window and get a pint. You don't have to stand in line.
You can. You can get a popsicle, you can get an ice cream sandwich, or you can get a pint there. So that's a little secret.
Yeah. And so what do you find? Is the soft serve, is that a hit?
It is. I mean, it's definitely on the weekends. We get a lot more people standing in line for that. It's a problem if it's raining outside. Because it's a walk-up window. But there's definitely the people who absolutely love the soft serve. It doesn't, you know, it's two flavors, so it's not the same as being able to pick from 18.
Exactly. All right, well, we have, as you can imagine, much more to talk about here. We're talking about ice cream in this hour of Forum, and we want to hear from you. What are your favorite flavors, your favorite neighborhood places that maybe we haven't talked about? There's a lot of those in the Bay Area as well. 866-733-6786 is the number to call. 866-733-6786, or you can email your thoughts to forum@kqed.org or leave your comments on our Facebook page. Scott Schaefer here today for Michael Krasny. Stay with us.
About 2:45. Sidewalk, sunny, strawberry surprise. I got a chair, popsicle, and I'm right on time. A big stick, mama, gonna blow your mind. Cause I'm your ice cream man, yeah. One man band now.
Tom Waits with a somewhat salacious ice cream story. Ice Cream Man, the name of that one. And we are talking this hour about ice cream, premium ice cream, local ice cream here in the Bay Area. And our guests include Janie Hu, who is a food writer with the San Francisco Chronicle, wrote a expansive Taster's Choice article about a year ago on ice cream. Also with us, Ann Walker, co-founder of Byright Creamery and Bake Shop. She's also the co-author of Sweet Cream and Sugar Cones, 90 Recipes for Making Your Own Ice Cream and Frozen Treats from Byright Creamery. We'd love to hear from you this hour as well. Tell us what your favorite flavors are, your ice cream memories when you were a kid or after you had kids, maybe. 866-733-6786 is the number to call, 866-733-6786. You can also email us. It's forum at kqed.org. We also asked our Facebook fans to tell us some of their local favorite scoops. Here is some of what we got back. Alicia writes, Screamin' Mimi's in Sebastopol. Love that place. Which she writes has seasonal flavors like apricot, fig, Meyer lemon, cardamom, and so yummy and delicious, she says. Also, Lauren writes, Scream Sorbet is great because they come to the San Mateo Farmers Market all the way from Oakland just to bring me my fix. They even offer to bring my favorite seasonal flavor with them. My recent fave is Thai peanut. My other ice cream crush, she says, is Blush Orange Organic Frozen Yogurt because they use organic yogurt from Strauss Family Cream, Family Farms, rather. Let's see. Should we go to the phones? Let's do that. Actually, why don't we bring in Linda Mitchell? Linda Mitchell, who is in the Mitchell family. Her dad, Larry Mitchell, is the current owner of Mitchell's. Linda Mitchell, good to have you with us.
Hi. Nice to be here.
And Mitchell's, of course, is an institution in San Francisco. Got its start in the Mission District over on San Jose Avenue about, what, 1953?
That's right, yeah. So this year was our 59th anniversary.
And your chocolate did very well in that Chronicle survey. Were you must have been happy about that.
We were ecstatic.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a lot of good competition, so it's always good to be recognized.
You do, and I have to say, Mitchell's is, it's like going to Mitchell's is an event. You know, you're right? I mean, it's busy, it's happening, you take a number. I mean, how many ice cream places do you have to take a number?
That's true. We used to, it was just kind of a free-for-all for many years, and when we instituted the number system, it really helped organize things.
And your store is known, I think, probably best known for its tropical flavors. Tell us about that, how that came about.
Well, my dad, Larry, as you mentioned, started the business along with my uncle, Jack, and so for the first 10 years or so, they just sold traditional American flavors, and then we had a customer, Emerson Clark, who was a fruit broker. He imported fruit from the Philippines and other parts of the world, and he encouraged my dad to try mango. So that was what we started with, was mango ice cream. We started making the mango from fruit we imported from the Philippines. And at that time, San Francisco was really changing. You know, we were getting a lot more Latinos in our neighborhood and certainly around San Francisco. And also a lot of Filipinos were emigrating from the Philippines. So mango became just instantly popular.
Yeah, and it's your number one seller today.
It is
still
our number one seller. We actually sell more mango than vanilla, which is very unusual for an American ice cream store. And from there, you know, our customers started asking for more tropical flavors, and so they just kind of one by one started importing, you know, macapuno, ube, lanca, avocado. And a lot of people think avocado is just a gimmick ice cream, but it's actually something that's very popular in the Philippines, and that's why we started making it.
Yeah, and avocado has a lot of fat or oil itself, doesn't it?
Yes. Yes, it does.
So that must be, I think I've had it, but it's very rich, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
And what about purple yam? I mean, where did, was that, were there any flavors where people came to you and you said, well, I don't think we can go there, or that you tried and just didn't go over very well?
I think one they tried that didn't go over was Atis, which is another product from the Philippines. Most of them, you know, macapuno is very popular. Ube is very popular. We even started making ube macapuno, which is a combination of the purple yam and the coconut. And we do that in the half gallons.
Yeah.
And so really all of them were very, very popular flavors in the Philippines. So bringing them here, you know, when we started making the ice cream here with the same fruit, it was they were just instantly popular.
Yeah, and the Philippines Filipino flavors are obvious, but are there other, you know, have you gone to other parts of the world for different kinds of flavors?
Well, we make lucuma, which we have imported from Peru. We get it through Miami, my brother Brian is in charge of production, and when he told me that we were going to be making lucuma, I thought, oh, that's not going to last. It is so popular.
Huh. What does it taste like?
It's kind of a maple-y taste. It's a small fruit. It's actually grown throughout Latin America, throughout South America. But it has a maple-y taste. It's actually very good.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of people love it, and especially Peruvians.
Yeah. And your ice cream, if I'm remembering from your article, Janie, is very high butterfat. Isn't it like 16%?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
We've always used 16% since the day we opened. So
yeah.
Something we really have always wanted to stick with. It makes it a creamier product.
Yeah. All right. Well, Linda Mitchell, thanks so much for joining us. I'm sure there'll be a line out there tonight, as there always is.
Thank you very much for including us in your talk today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thanks so much. Let's bring some of our listeners into this now. Actually, before I do that, though, Janie, anything you want to say about Mitchell's in terms of the flavor? What other flavors did you include besides the chocolate?
I think we had the Macapuno. We had the chocolate, and I'm trying to remember what that last flavor was. It might have been an ube. And as you were saying, they've got such a rich history with those tropical flavors from the Philippines. I remember speaking with Linda, though, when I was writing the article, and what's also interesting is that they still use some of the same purveyors that they have for, you know, she's coming up on 60 years now. And I think so it's still one of those family-run businesses that has those family ties that they're, you know, that they still go to nowadays.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the phones, and our first stop is Alameda. John is on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. This is a lot of fun to talk about. When we moved to Alameda 15 years ago, we discovered Tucker's, which everybody goes to. There is usually a line that's 20 people long on a Saturday night after the movies get out or after Little League games on Sunday afternoons. And they do a Zinfandel ice cream that is really interesting. It started out when Kent Rosenblum owned Rosenblum Cellars, and now he has Rockwall Wine Company. So they've moved on to using the Rockwall Zins with chocolate.
That's a good
combination. It's really odd, but it's really good. But they also do Macapuno. They've done nectarine and peach, to answer your earlier question, Scott.
Yeah.
They do a lot of fresh fruits, and you can get through their ancient tornado machine that they have to get parts made for, you can get fresh fruit yogurt of about half the different possibilities with kiwi, blueberries, and so on.
Yeah.
And that is to die for as much as anything else that they have, and I did send an email with the address and phone number for anybody else. If you make it within 10 miles of Alameda, you should come.
All right. Well, thanks so much for the tip. Appreciate it. And Ann Walker, how tough is it to recreate some of these things in your kitchen, your own kitchen, your personal kitchen?
No, it's quite easy.
That's what your book is about.
Well, yeah. The creation of our book really kind of came about from our guests coming into the shop and asking us questions about how to make ice cream. We would get into conversations about how to make a good fruit ice cream or, you know, what kind of chocolate to use in your chocolate ice cream. And so Chris and I felt that it would be a great opportunity for us to put that information together in a book and to translate our recipes to smaller batches and batches of ice cream you can make in your own kitchen. So.
Yeah. And is there a quote unquote secret to making good ice cream at home?
I don't think there's a secret. I think using obviously the best quality ingredients that you can get your hands on is definitely important. Using ingredients that are in season so that they're really flavorful and tasty.
What about like stabilizers?
No stabilizers. Don't need those. just really great. You know, we really believe in Strauss's, you know, dairy. I think that they have just amazing stuff, and the fact that it's organic is important to us. So,
yeah. All right, let's go to the phones again. And Nathan is on the line in Petaluma. Hi, Nathan.
Hi. How's it going today?
Good. What's on your mind?
So yesterday morning, my middle daughter and I, she's the early riser, got up and you picked Gravenstein apples the first weekend they were available in Sebastopol. And we then went home and all three daughters and I made an apple pie and we made a Gravenstein apple ice cream. We juiced four or five Gravenstein, used the fresh juice, some heavy cream from Oliver's, and local wildflower honey. I was pretty excited about the first crop Gravensteins, and ice cream was a great way to show them off.
Yeah, how do you like puree the apple, or what do you do?
Puree the apple, and I just press the juice through cheesecloth. I don't have a press, so we did it by hand.
So you just use the juice, not any of the
None of the pulp. I maybe don't have the skill to use the apple bits and not have them turn out all crystally.
And Walker, with something like apple, I mean, which can be a little on the tart side. Do you need to use more sugar, do you think, to make that really taste good?
It depends on the fruit. Yeah, you definitely, the rule of thumb when you're making ice cream is when you've made the base, it should taste just a little too sweet, because by the time you freeze it, it's going to lose some of that sweetness.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's, you know, just having kind of that parameter of, you know, I can go from a quarter cup to a half cup, or, you know, vice versa, depending on the fruit.
Yeah. Nathan, are you in the food business or something? You seem really good around the kitchen.
I just like to cook, and I've gotten the girls excited about it, so it's something we do together.
That's great. Well, they'll have some great memories of all that when they grow up, I'm sure. Thanks very much for the call. Let's see. Where do we want to go next? Let's go to Berkeley. Max is on the line. I'll give out the phone number one more time. It's 866-733-6786. 866-733-6786. And Max, Berkeley, welcome.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for having me. I'm from Italy, and I've been here in the Bay Area for about 10 years off and on, and I must say that you know it's a slightly different experience for me, because in Italy we have something that, you know, I guess in Bay Area most people are accustomed to, at least hearing it. It's gelato, which is, you know, slightly different texture, and I guess ingredients. It's less cream based and more milk based, and then there's sorbetto, which is I guess non-dairy based. But I've been on the quest here in the Bay Area, and of course there's a lot of stuff that it's branded as gelato in the stores, you know, in the grocery stores in general, and I've tasted all of that, and it's okay. And actually been to a lot of the places that you guys are talking about, and I like ice cream as well. But it's kind of like a childhood quest that I had since I've been here. And I found this place not too long ago here in Berkeley. It's called Gelateria Naya. I think it's on Shattuck and something. And they're just incredible. They just kind of it's like going to Italy without paying for the ticket. And, you know, it's the same thing I have with the flavors. It's just such a strong connection.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing with food in general, and particularly with pizza. I'm from southern Italy.
Yeah. So are the owners Italian of that?
I don't think so. I don't really know them. I just know the manager there, and because we started talking about how they make it. And it's amazing because they do all local you know, mostly organic and local farmers that get small batches. Everything is in season. And the thing I really like is they do really blend the Italian traditional gelato flavors, such as nocciola, which is the hazelnut, or, you know, there's like flavors that I can hardly find anywhere else. But the quality and the texture, everything is just, you know, top notch. And I really like these guys. And like I said, it's like going back home without paying.
All right, Max.
Especially in the summer, I suffer quite a bit from being away, although I absolutely love the Bay Area. But, you know, in the summer, I'm used to
You like
fog,
that gelato. So. Yeah, well, I remember last time I was in Italy, I think we had gelato three times a day. So I know what you're talking about. Thanks for the call. Janie, what are the – why is it tougher to make gelato, do you think, or Anne, what do you think?
It's a different process. Do you have some gelato?
No.
Okay. We serve our ice cream is in a gelato case, and it's in gelato pans, yeah. But it's actually ice cream. It's a different process. It's usually gelato doesn't have eggs. It also isn't made with cream. It's made with milk.
Yeah.
It's it has less air incorporated into it, and it's served at a warmer temperature.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because it feels so decadent, but it's actually, you know, it doesn't have as much fat in it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it tastes rich.
It tastes, yeah, it's amazing.
Definitely. All right, let's go to Matt now in Oakland. Welcome.
Hi, this is actually unrelated to my question, but I'm surprised that some adventurous soul hasn't tried durian-flavored ice cream.
Mm. What flavor?
Durian.
What is that?
Durian, it's a notoriously stinky fruit that's kind of supposed to be fun and funny. But speaking of all the exotic flavors from Mitchell, but, you know, I wanted to ask, I make ice cream at home myself as well, and I wanted to know what is the benefit of going like the full custard route, you know, using all the egg yolks and going through the pain and the trials of, you know, boiling and, you know, and bringing things up to heat and then cooling them down. I mean, I've had very good success simply using good cream, good milk, good sugar. Is it necessary to go through the entire thing? And the other thing I wanted to ask about is making ice cream with booze. How do you do it well, and how do you do it so that things set up properly?
All right.
I'll leave you with that. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Matt. What do you think, Ann?
You can definitely make ice cream without eggs. That's not the route that Chris and I take, but there's definitely a lot of recipes. I know Jenny's, she just came out with a great ice cream book, and she does an ice cream without eggs. My feeling is once you kind of get that technique down, it's actually really quick. A lot of people are afraid of making a custard base, but I think, you know, just kind of practicing it a couple times, once you got it down, it's really fast.
What goes wrong typically?
I think people don't understand. You basically need to heat up your eggs and your cream, and then you add a little bit of that warm liquid to your egg yolks to kind of bring that up to temperature, and then it all goes back in the pan, and you need to cook it really carefully so you're not overcooking
your
eggs.
Eggs. Yeah.
But it's a really simple method, and everybody can learn it.
Yeah.
So.
And then booze in the ice cream.
Booze
rum
in
raisin.
The ice cream. Okay, there's two things that make ice cream really soft, and it's too much sugar and it's too much alcohol. And I know I'm a big bourbon fan myself, and I always want to get as much in there as I can. But one trick that an old pastry chef of mine taught me was if you want to do like a rum raisin ice cream, if you take your raisin and you soak it in the rum and then drain it out, you can actually infuse a lot more alcohol into the ice cream because it's inside of the raisins.
So the alcohol remains.
The alcohol
content. So you could get drunk from the rum raisin ice cream.
No, I don't. But you get that nice flavor.
Yeah.
You can't go too overboard. Otherwise, it's just not going to freeze.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's.
And
it's,
what? How do you decide what's overboard and what's not?
You know, you probably can't do more. If you're making a quart batch of ice cream, you can't go more than a quarter cup of alcohol. And even that might be pushing it.
Yeah. And vanilla is an alcohol too, right?
It is, but you're using a couple teaspoons of that.
A little bit of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Okay. Janie, did you want to jump in? I thought, okay. Let's go back to the phones now. And how about Eric in Oakland? Welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine, thanks. I was just calling because I figured out this really awesome recipe last time my wife and I were in Bali. We visited a coffee plantation, and I brought back some Balinese ginseng coffee that comes in an instant coffee pack. And normally I don't like drinking instant coffee, but we found when we were making ice cream that it made for this wonderfully spicy coffee ice cream that I've never tasted before. Even better with Kahlua and bourbon.
And did it make you wide awake?
Did that thing where you wake up in the morning and you have a cup of coffee, but you're still a little bit tired, and it's just kind of perfectly comforting.
Yeah, that sounds good. And then you had a question about sriracha as well?
Yeah, I've noticed that a lot of people are using sriracha now for everything, and I think I even saw a cookbook, like a sriracha cookbook that had some sriracha-infused ice cream on the cover. I'm wondering if any of you have had the opportunity to taste that and
No, Anne's shaking her head.
Like, no. Is Tabasco ice cream? Nah, I don't know.
No.
Yeah. No, I guess the answer is no, Eric. You have to buy the cookbook.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering if it's one of those things that I learned in college that just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should.
Perhaps.
There's a lot of
there's some truth in that. All right. Well, thanks. Thanks for the call. Anyway, here's some email, too. Mark in San Francisco writes, do any of the ice cream companies from the Chronicle test, Janie, continue to use artificial flavors or colors? I was given a couple pints of Mitchell's ice cream and was surprised that they contained artificial colors.
That I'm probably not the leading authority on. I'm not sure. I think you're starting to see a lot more attention paid to organic ingredients, local ingredients, since we have such a bounty of that in the Bay Area. But if you, you know, a lot of times when you look at the ice cream itself, like mint, anything that you're seeing that's neon green, obviously, or is
green
not
at all,
or green,
really.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Isn't. So I think that there's attention paid to that. But you know what? I've talked to a lot of these ice cream makers too. Even if they wanted to move in that direction, it's difficult because the customers know the taste of the flavor they want. And if something tweaks just a little bit, they hear about it from the customers.
Yeah. Some, is it, I guess Baskin-Robbins, the colors of those ice creams are not found in nature.
No, these pinks and
I guess
greens.
Some people want that.
Yeah.
Like bubblegum ice cream. And
exactly.
All that stuff.
Birthday cake.
Here's some more comments from our Facebook page. Jeanette writes, Joe's ice cream on Geary. Old school and so good. You know about that one?
Yeah, it's actually that's my one regret with this tasting. We went into a lot of neighborhoods to pick up ice creams and we forgot Joe's. So very sorry for that.
Yeah, and there's a new place on in Coal Valley too called Ice Cream Bar. Mm-hmm. I think. Do you know about that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's kind of an old-fashioned sort of soda fountain.
Yeah,
thing,
they're kind of going in a new direction, which is really neat. They're doing like, you know, the soda jerk thing where they're putting together drinks and different floats and that sort of thing in the back. Which
hiring
is cool.
Jerks.
Yep.
Let's see. Kimberly writes, EC for the cones and pretty much everything. Mitchell's for the dipped Rocky Road and Mexican chocolate. And Miam for frozen yogurt. Kath writes, Rite Aid drugstores? Woefully underappreciated.
The old thrifty,
Haagen-Dazs, I guess. Yeah, and then we've had a few mentions also from Mary Ann's in Santa Cruz, the Penny Ice Creamery in Santa Cruz. Mm-hmm. Is that the one sort of near the mall?
I actually haven't been there. I've heard about it because they're making their own base, and it sounds like they're doing a great job down there.
Yeah, and then also Lord's in Orinda and Scoop in Fairfax, which is also very good. Let's see if we can maybe sneak in another call or two here. Harold is on the line in San Francisco. Harold, welcome.
Good morning.
San Jose, rather. Sorry. Hi.
Yeah. I'm actually in Campbell now, but I guess that doesn't matter. I enjoy all your work on KQED radio and television, Scott.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Calling about a small independent company down here in San Jose called Treat Ice Cream. I don't know if your panelists are familiar with it. They distribute to small independent grocery stores like Donato's and Lenardi's. And there's a small chain down here in San Jose called Sweet Retreat. And they make really rich, delicious ice cream. But my favorite flavor is they have a vanilla frozen yogurt that's very low in sugar and fat. It's under 100 calories in a half a cup. And this chain of ice cream shop called Sweet Retreat, they have a special machine that mechanically blends frozen fruits like strawberries, raspberries, blueberries, bananas with the yogurt.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes a delicious light dessert.
Yeah.
But I buy it myself from the company and I make it myself at home just with blended strawberries.
Nice. Well, let me ask our guest about frozen yogurt. We haven't really talked much about that. Ann Walker, what are your thoughts about it in terms of, you know, how to make a good one, or do you not really get into that so much?
You know, we kind of debated whether we would do frozen yogurt when we set up the soft serve machine, and we just decided we wanted to stick with ice cream. But there are a lot more places now. It's sort of, you know, it was here in the 80s and then it went away and now it's back in a different form. And, you know, I love frozen yogurt. It's
yeah. Is it just less lower fat?
It's lower fat. Definitely what you can get now has a lot less sugar than it used to. It's, you know, I think it's a really nice alternative.
Yeah. Anything to add to that, Jane?
Texturally, it's just a little bit different, too.
Yeah.
I think it's slightly icier. But I think the popularity of places like Pink Berries and the Build Your Own yogurt, I think that's kind of shot up, too.
All right, Harold, thanks for the call. Let's go now to Napa. Robin is on the line. Hi, Robin.
Hi, good morning. I used to live in Berkeley. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
I lived in Berkeley in the late 70s. And I remember a few places. I especially remember Bots on College Avenue, and they had an outrageous apricot ice cream, and that was in the Elmwood District. And then Edie's, of course, on Shattuck Avenue. I guess you haven't mentioned that, so I guess that's not still there.
That's long gone, I don't know
but
how long.
But also, I'm hoping one of your guests, or you might remember this, there was a really tiny ice cream place in Oakland near Grand Avenue or one of or Lakeshore, one of those, even, I hope I don't have the street name wrong, but it was a really tiny place. I want to say maybe it had Mary or Mary's in the title, and they would only let, like, five people in at a time, and they had totally homemade and also kind of, if I remember, eclectic flavors, sort of oddball flavors, especially for the 70s. Does anybody remember that place?
I know. No, I guess everyone's shaking their heads.
Sorry.
No, sorry.
Oh, my God. I was hoping.
Well, you have it in your memory. That's the most important thing.
I do, but not completely. Maybe somebody will write in on your website. And if you remember that place, please tell me the name of it.
Oh, okay. I think we can put that. Is that on our website, Judy? If you look on our website, I think you'll maybe find a comment about that because somebody did write in about it.
Yeah. Cool.
All right. Good. Well, thanks for bringing that one up. A lot of good memories about ice cream. I have to say that at Byrite, I do love the balsamic strawberry. We haven't talked much, and we only have a few seconds left, so we're not going to do it now. But baked goods and I mean, do you see that this whole sort of push and excitement about ice cream is sort of just part of the spectrum with, you know, we see it with cupcakes as well. I mean, is it all part of the same sort of thing that people are looking for, comfort desserts maybe?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, I know we're about to run out of time. We actually started with our baked goods before we even made ice cream for the market. So that's always been a very important part of the business and being able to create, you know, really wonderful stuff for everyone.
Yeah. All right. Ann Walker, co-founder of Byrite Creamery and Bake Shop. Thanks so much for being here.
Sure. Thank you.
Thanks also to Janie Hu from The Chronicle, Mary Canales earlier from EC, and Linda Mitchell from Mitchell's. You can find, by the way, links to all the recipes or some recipes from Bay Area ice cream shops at our website, kqed.org/forum. Forum is produced by Judy Campbell and Vinnie Tong. Our senior editor is Dan Zoll. Our engineer today is Howard Gelman. And our executive producer is Raul Ramirez. I'm Scott Schaefer here for Michael Krasny. And we're going to go out with a little music from Van Halen. Thanks for listening. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed
to satisfy. Hold on one more. Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.